Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All right, this show brought to you in part by SimpliSafe. If you have 30 minutes, you never have to worry about break-ins ever again. Just go to simplisafe.com/Adam, get all the sensors you need, all the help you need as well to set it up. Custom systems going to show up post-haste at simplisafe.com/Adam. All right, in the first half, we get into the J.K. Rowling situation, some hot Chappelle talk. And Bill Maher weighs in on it as well. Also, we'll do made-up movie. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com. Good news. Two more comedy specials taping at the Brea Improv December 15th. TJ Miller's going to join us for one of those, and Patrick Warburton is going to be on for another one. So two shows, December 15th, Brea Improv. Come on out and be part of the filming. Tickets at adamcarolla.com.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Peter Stormare, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and we'll play some made-up movie. But now, very concerned about inflation, mostly on his tires, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a Chuzigan on mandate to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian?
Oh, come on, buddy.
Yeah, baby.
Caitlin.
Worth it.
Peter Stormare is going to join us via Zoom. Fargo. I remember him from Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he didn't really talk in Fargo, but he...
Man, a few words.
He smoked. Man, a few words.
Very memorable part. Most memorable part per word.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was Buscemi's, you know, partner in crime.
Henchman, yeah.
Buscemi would be talking the whole time. He'd be just smoking and looking at him. But this crazy. Sort of a interesting when they do characters this way, which is, it's kind of what makes reptiles scary, which is alligators do nothing. And then they do everything all at once.
You it's know the what archetype mean? Of a great loose cannon. That's a great loose cannon character because the guy, yeah, he liked the alligator. He's floating, floating, floating. Oh, snap, he got a deer.
Right. All of a sudden, he's in a frenzy of killing. But before that, there's almost no movement. Armageddon, remember that? He was one of my favorites. I think he was the one, the Russian guy who was trapped kind of going nuts.
I had forgotten he was in that movie.
I saw a picture of it. I think Chris showed me. He played a lot of comic relief and did a lot of talking with a thick Russian accent. Was that?
Looks like him.
Yeah, he was the guy who was up in the Russian space station who'd been there for like a year.
Sure.
And then they showed up and he was kind of going stir crazy.
Brian reminded me he had that great but disgusting part in Minority Report. That like sort of backroom doctor when he replaced Tom Cruise's eyes.
Mm-hmm. The Lost World, Jurassic Park.
He was great in that, too. He was sort of a, you know, two-dimensional bad guy henchman, but, you know, hammed it up. He did exactly what that role required. He's great in everything.
Big Lebowski.
Yep. Of course.
John
Nihilist.
Wick, too. Done TV. Prison Break, and then Seinfeld, not in that order.
Do you remember
Entourage?
The Seinfeld episode where they're trying to boost that Frogger machine out of the arcade?
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy they try to get to boost it. Just very random.
Yeah. Guy's had a really interesting career. So we'll talk to him about that and beyond as well. All right. So we got some made-up movie to do. Looking forward to that. There was a news, I don't know if it was out of Variety, one of the publications, one of the entertainment publications, but it was J.K. Rowling.
Oh, yeah.
Who's not welcome on the 20th anniversary of Harry Potter.
Of the story she created.
What does she do?
What?
What?
Ryan.
I'm sorry.
She's a tough.
I normally keep up my J.K. Rowling news, but please, remind me.
Well, it's been... people
have
hated her for a while.
If he's going to be condescending, don't remind me.
Right, no, I'm serious. I'm sure she did something. But
she's a TERF.
She's a TERF. The acronym is trans. She made the mistake of doing what Martina Navratilova made, which is like men are men and women are women. The controversial stance of declaring men men and women women. And for that, she's out.
Tess is just getting into opposites. Like, they're starting to learn that this kindergarten, pre-kindergarten level. And where she's like, ask me opposites, you know, day, night. And she, this is last night at dinner. And she goes, boy. I'm like, oh, boy. Where do I go? Where do I go here?
Yeah. Yeah. She's going to probably live in a world where she's going to have to announce her theys and her thems and their zs and their she's and whatever. I don't know what percentage of our population is transgendered, but I feel like there's a very small group of people that are trying to control a very large group, and it's working wonderfully because she J.K., and you have this story, I think. I think we have the variety story.
Before you do that, do you want to know what a TERF is?
Oh, yeah.
I do.
It's transgender exclusionary radical feminist. Very specific.
Very specific.
Uh-huh. So she's a radical feminist?
Who is also transgender exclusatory.
Yeah, excluding the trans community from being feminine.
Mm-hmm.
Radically?
I think she's the radical.
I don't know, man.
But the other problem is everyone, whether it's being racist or being TERFist, others will label you that.
Sure.
I don't think most people who have been called racist in the last 10 minutes or TERFs would label themselves as a radical feminist.
Right.
Feminist. But she's been, I don't know, do you have the article there, Max?
Well, everywhere has been writing about it, but basically, yeah, it's just they're doing their 23 reunion on HBO Max, a la like what they did with Friends, and they're going to get everybody back together. But in all the previews, JK is not in it. They have not announced that she's going to be in it, and the only way that she is going to be in it is through archival footage. And this is in response to her tweet. She criticized the phrase, people who menstruate.
We can't say women. We have to say people who menstruate. Yeah, there's no more.
Like birthing people.
She said, if sex isn't real, the lived reality of women globally is erased. Mm-hmm. I know and love trans people, but erasing the concept of sex removes the ability of many to meaningfully discuss their lives.
So she has F me money. Good for her. The other thing is Harry Potter's Harry Potter. I mean, I get...
Hold on.
Right. Write that down. Well, what I'm saying is Dave Chappelle just got hit over the head with this. Mm-hmm. Dave Chappelle, you could argue if you wanted to, and I wouldn't, but you could go, well, he's a comedian and he speaks on subjects that are relevant or timely or whatever. And he pushes the conversation one way or the other. And, if you think about it, remember the whole reason Bill Cosby got into what Bill Cosby got into is Hannibal Buress,
right?
Of course.
Doing a set.
So, you know, you could say, oh, he's a comedian. He's speaking, who cares? And that's my argument. He's
jokes.
A comedian. Who cares? Yeah. But you can talk about things that lead to other things. So you go, well, there is, there's Dave Chappelle, and okay, maybe he is convincing a certain amount of the populace that, of this or of that. But Harry Potter, let me say it again. Harry Potter's Harry Potter.
Write this down.
He lives in Hogsmeade or something.
That's pretty close for you.
He's got a wand and he flies on a Swiffer.
A Gryffindor.
First of all, Gina, have you never seen it?
I've never seen any Harry Potters.
Well,
Muggle Pucky?
Quidditch. I mean, I have no
Quidditch.
Idea. You're due with that little boy.
Probably right. You know what? You know who?
And out of getting close to Hogwarts, that's actually
Hogsmeade is pretty good. You know who would have been interesting to ask is Peter Stormare's
Co-star.
Co-star in the movie. Timothy Spall is in all the Harry Potters, I think.
All right.
The star of this movie, it was in the series.
Well, what I'm leading to is this is a fantasy about a place that doesn't exist in a time that's either well beyond our time or well before our time. Unclear. But the point is this is pure fantasy.
Right.
So her feelings on transgender shouldn't really factor in, since
shouldn't color your viewing of
well, how much transgender. What I mean is Chappelle gets up on stage and talks about transgender scene.
Harry Potter does not.
She is not going to be discussing that when they ask her in real time about when she thought of the idea and the first script and on all the nuts and the bolts of Harry Potter. So why does she need to be wished out into the cornfield?
Whereas Chappelle's opinions are part and parcel and baked into the material and who he is, at least on stage. She's a couple of steps removed from her personal opinions on gender or whatever and the material that's being celebrated.
And why did this even come out in the first place? Like, was she writing some sort of a new book? Or, I mean, like,
Fantastic Beasts.
But when she started saying all this stuff on Twitter and like weighing in, it did seem so sort of like out of nowhere.
I don't know. I think there's a lot of people who have a phone, have a Twitter account, maybe a woman, and are being told something that doesn't make sense to them, and so they respond.
Don't forget that she's a semi-prolific writer. She put out hundreds of thousands of words in God knows how many years, and now I don't think she's writing as much. So those thoughts don't stop.
Right. And then, so the scary part of this chapter we're in as a society is she needs to be canceled, the creator of this thing that we're having a reunion about, and it's employed millions and made millions and sold millions. She's got to be removed over something that's not involved with the actual product.
Sure.
Now this is, you're being removed for the way you think. Now, if somebody says, we got to tear down this Confederate war statue, you go, well, that's what he did.
Right. That's
what he did.
Him.
Or we need to edit out some of the language from the Disney film from Peter Pan, or the way the Indians are portrayed in Peter Pan, or Jungle Book, or whatever it is. That at least that's, you can draw a straight line. This is simply thought policing. Mm-hmm. This is like, and now we're getting into sort of McCarthyism because it's like, hey, I want to work in Hollywood. I want to write scripts. Well, you can't because you talk about this or think about this other stuff.
Right.
And they're like, yeah, but I'm writing a script.
Has nothing to do with that.
It's a Western.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
I know the way you think.
But you think about this, so we got to remove you from that. That and being done by the McCarthyism people.
Right.
That's the best part.
You know who is kind of the was kind of the canary in the coal mine for this? She got Roseanne'd. Because Roseanne got written off her own show, and they just kept trucking right along.
That's right. That's right. Over. And I stand by a Valerie Jarrett.
Valerie Jarrett.
Yeah, I cannot.
Oh, she thought the bitch was white.
She thought the bitch was white. Show a picture of her. Yeah, I'm with Roseanne on that one. But anyway, all the cast has tweeted support for the trans community during the initial controversy, too. All
right. Necessary?
The trans community has essentially hijacked our culture. This is awesome.
We should assume if you're still invited to the gala, you're on the side of the trans community. Otherwise, that you wouldn't be invited.
We have a clip of Bill Maher, who, back to the Dave Chappelle stuff, I think he went on and did a kind of one-on-one with Andrew Cuomo. Is it Andrew Cuomo? Chris Cuomo. I got too many Cuomos in my head. Because then the dad was
Mario.
Mario. Yeah. All right. Anyway, he did a one-on-one with Chris, and Bill's got a fair amount of F me money as well. And he's standing his ground on the Dave Chappelle thing.
Well, I defended him. I'm Team Dave.
Why?
And free speech. Well, first of all, you say going after. You use terms like homophobia.
Mm-hmm.
I was speaking recently about phobia. There's a word that's traveled quite a bit from its original meaning. A lot of mission creep on that word, phobia. It's become really just a way people, a word they use to say, I don't like something.
That's right. It's not a fear.
Phobia means an irrational fear.
Mm-hmm.
you know, spiders, arachnophobia, you know, you have an irrational fear. Okay, germophobia. I see all the hand sanitizers here. To me, that would be germophobia.
But those are only for shaking hands with me.
I see. Which I never was worried about. And still I'm not. He's not afraid of homosexuals.
Right.
Or it's not transphobic. It's like this trans stuff is very new. I don't think he or myself or any other, again, right-thinking person thinks there aren't such things in the world as people who are trans, who are born in a body that doesn't align with what their brain is telling them. That's okay. But now we're talking about children. It's interesting. Someone I know, a woman in her 40s, said to me somewhat recently at a dinner party that when she was a kid, she was what they used to call a tomboy. She said, I never was interested in wearing a dress. I only wore pants until I was like 14 or 15. She said, if I was around today, they would have made me into a boy here in California. That's what we're talking about. This is new. So don't put it into this category of this is settled science. Anything that deviates from the one true opinion on this means you're some horrible bigot and transphobic. That's not what's going on here. And I don't think Dave Chappelle is transphobic. I mean, a lot of that special is talking about his opening act.
Right.
Who's trans? Okay? It's just like, can we take a breath? Maybe we are going too far with the children part of this. You know, kids should not be really making decisions about their gender. I mean, Mario Lopez was almost canceled for suggesting that maybe three-year-olds shouldn't decide their gender. This is not crazy stuff that makes you a bigot.
Well, Bill is, I don't think Bill is changing his tune at all. I think the band is playing the tune differently, yeah. And he stopped dancing. Mm. He's like, I'm this liberal guy who's progressive, but you guys are playing a different song than I was dancing to before. And the thing I actually thought about when I was thinking about transphobic, I always hate it when people go, you know, these are Americans that are scared of people that look different than them. Like, that's all of America all the time. You couldn't get into a fucking Uber if you were scared of people that look different than you. And they're calling everything phobic. Yeah, they're not phobic, but there is probably a new transphobia, which is shut your fucking mouth or they'll ruin your fucking career. I would be transphobic from that perspective. Sure. I'm not scared of the trans community, but you should now be scared of them ruining your career if you send out a tweet like J.K. Rowling's did. So maybe there is a transphobia, but it's a...
Not what you think.
Not what you think, but you would be wise to be transphobic if you're a young comedian or up-and-coming writer.
This might be a naive question, but the thing I don't understand is you hear a lot of people say, and rightly so, I haven't changed my position. Everybody else has moved away from me. And that's always met with like, that's bullshit, you know, you're a traitor, to the, whatever. But why is it so hard to admit if that's your thinking? Like, that's right. We have progressed in this direction. You know, like, why is that such a bad thing when it's true?
Which part?
Saying, like, I haven't changed my beliefs. You've changed your beliefs and moved away from, you know, like, you've moved away from Bill Maher. Mm-hmm. Why is that so hard to admit?
That's kind of the implied goal, right? Is to move forward, move on, whatever.
Yeah.
Why is that taken with such defensiveness?
Oh, you mean, why would Bill...
I'm sorry if I'm not being clear. Why would the community, he's saying that to, like... I am still a liberal progressive guy. You guys are the ones who've moved away from me. Why would that group be so defensive? Just admit it.
Oh, we've moved away?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why is that so hard to admit?
I don't know. There's not a lot of really admitting. There's just a lot of canceling. Mm-hmm. And everyone is so fucking scared that they just go along with it. And it's really, it's not the fault of the person. You take, what's his name from The Bachelor?
Oh, Harrison?
Harrison?
We've already forgotten.
Harrison.
It's I didn't not watch The Bachelor.
His fault. He didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And it's not the whatever community, Black Lives Matter, it's not their fault. They're doing what they do. Mm-hmm. It's NBC or ABC. Right. It's their fault for immediately caving.
Right.
That's the problem. It's the boardrooms and the corporations that immediately cave. That's what's because it takes it. It's not the black community or the trans community that gets you canceled. It's the
corporate
network or the corporation that immediately pulls the plug on you.
Right. And just as an example of changing the language, excuse me, Adam, it's not called canceling anymore. It's simply deplatforming.
Okay. Right. Right.
Yeah. Bill was saying that, like, even he was using the word woke, and they're talking about how, like, oh, AOC says woke is old news now. And Bill's like, what grade are we in? like, I just learned it. I can use it. But yeah, so even the word woke is getting.
Woke is chuggy.
Yeah.
All right. We got made up movies to play.
So I loved Bill saying he was at a dinner party with a young lady.
Yeah. And the conversation regarding revolving around her wearing pants was him going, why are you wearing, why are you still wearing your pants?
You still have clothes on. I've been paying you for the last hour.
All right, let me hit Simply Safe. Simply Safe wants your home to feel safer. There's no better time than now. This week, our friends at Simply Safe are giving my listeners, my show listeners, early access to their Black Friday deal, 50% off. Everything you need, indoor and outdoor cameras, comprehensive sensors, around-the-clock monitoring by trained professionals who send help the instant you need it. Named Best Home Security System by U.S. News and World Report. Easily customized, and the system, you can do it online in minutes. Even get free custom recommendations as well. There's Simply Safe's biggest discount of the year. Get a complete home security system at just over $100 with no long-term contracts and commitments. Supplies limited. Take 50% off at simplysafe.com/Adam. That's simplysafe.com/Adam. All right, we'll take a quick break. Come back with Made Up Movie right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know. It's hard work out there, owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle your policies at Geico? Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Ottawa, Canada. A 32-year-old woman was charged with abduction, assault, breaking and entering, and weapon possession after attempting to kidnap a newborn from a new mother. The woman subdued the mother using bear repellent. Definitely not a Jew.
All right. Intro. Made up movie.
In a world where titles are many and plots are few, one man can take your movie names and make them come to life.
What is going on?
Adam Carolla stars in Made Up Movie.
All right, let's start at the top. Speak to Mike, 40, from Virginia. Mike.
Mijo? What's going on?
We give us a title so we can make up a movie around it.
Run of the Mill.
Mm. All right. I have a take.
Give it to us.
Let's hear it.
All right. There's there's an old textile mill in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And the dad, Liam Neeson.
Sure.
Haggardly, you know, let the beard grow out
Beleaguered,
a little bit.
Yeah.
He's been running this mill. It's like a family mill. It was passed down from his father and so on and so forth. And, of course, things are changing. A lot of stuff's going to China.
Sure.
A lot of stuff moving to Canada. Mm-hmm. They're going to open a big textile mill in Canada.
The supplier shut down.
Work is slowing down. Yeah, right. And this mill that's been in the family for 122 years looks like its days are numbered. But he has a young plucky daughter, Charlize Theron, who's in New York.
Oh.
And she's working for an ad firm.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
You know, they do
living.
That thing.
Because hers, yeah, walking in the street with purpose, you know, Starbucks in her hand.
Got her
right.
AirPod
got
talking.
The assistant
yeah.
following her while she's shouting out things, and the assistant's trying to write mm-hmm. down things on the phone as fast as she can. Gets up. Now, she has a relationship that's not, she's realizing that this world, her world was, she wants to get away. You know, we have a scene where somebody says to her, like, where are you from again? And mm-hmm. she goes, oh, well, I was born in Paris.
Sure, you know? Sure, sure.
And then we moved to Malibu.
I spent most of my childhood in.
Right, right. Yeah. She's trying to get away from right. this old Indiana.
Right.
She feels like a bumpkin, right. and she's trying to overcompensate with all the glitz and glam of Manhattan, and she's never looked back kind of thing. But she gets the call from the dad that the mill is closing down. Yeah.
She's like, help. That mill was still around?
Right.
And this your mother put everything she had in here for 30
right.
years.
Yeah,
working the phones, working the front desk.
Right. And her secret is, like, she does feel this unwavering allegiance to help her dad.
And we have the scene where her boyfriend says he's met a younger woman, okay. and he's out of there. And we find her alone in her giant Manhattan penthouse. And she pours a glass of wine. She reaches for the old scrapbook.
Oh, yeah.
You know
it's
what I mean?
It's a touching montage.
Right.
Yeah.
And she's
sure.
sipping
Flipping
her wine.
Right.
And she's looking at the old black and white pictures
Pigtails.
Of the grandparents
yeah.
and the mill and her up there. Yeah.
You mentioned the sort of assistant she's always barking at. Adam Devine type mm-hmm. from Workaholics. Mm-hmm. Maybe he comes back with her. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And he becomes like the safety and operations
right.
manager.
Right.
He's bamboozled at like how poorly this place is run. He's like, that's an OSHA violation. That's an OSHA violation.
Right, right. And he looks
sane
at all
relief.
The haggard guys who've right. been there for 40 years.
Dale, put on your helmet.
Yep, that's right. And she's, you know, we see her walking in with her high heels and get stuck in the yeah. mud and that sure. she's not dressed for it. She's clearly fish out of water.
Yep.
But she's got Ooh. Insight. She's keen. She's going to roll her sleeves up.
At
yeah.
one point, the dad opens up her, you know, I kept her room the same, and it's all of her old clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of has a character transition there
uh-huh.
with, like, you know,
puts the coveralls
ditching
back
ditching
on.
The Ann Taylor and the Banner mm-hmm. Republic.
Right. And the deal she makes with herself and with her dad, like, fine, but I'm only giving you 2 weeks because I got to get back to my life.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then she gets a call from her, like, snarky publicist chick who's back in Manhattan.
Right.
Like, what are you hanging around with all those filthy Walmart yeah. choppers or something?
Side?
And she's like, these are some of the hardest working people. You
yeah.
know, so now
yeah.
she's,
that's right.
She's back in.
She defends them.
Yeah.
They have to invent something in this mill. Like, there has to be, you know.
Some revolutionary.
They were yeah. making industrial grade smocks for people who work in the smelting
sure.
industry or something.
The glamorous, sexy world.
And she's like looking down at her sexy handbag mm-hmm. that cost her
like
eight you know $18,000 and she's like
hey. It's so garish but though, is carbon neutral kind of a thing
right
or it's
but,
like,
yeah
oh we figured out a way to go carbon neutral with these
right mm-hmm. but the problem with the purse is as expensive as it is and as pretty as it is it doesn't hold together that well
mm.
like it
mm-hmm.
it needs some you know it needs some grit.
Yeah, and it's made in China or
yeah.
Mexico
Ooh,
or something.
Burlap becomes the new hot fashion trend.
That and more montage
yep. yeah.
with the assistant who knows the internet.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we get a picture of Kim Kardashian holding
yeah.
it. You
sure,
know, he does a thing
sure.
where, you know, he goes down to Malibu and he goes down to, you know, Mr. Chow's
Chow.
Or something and like hands it to Kim Kardashian. She's like, what is this? And then he takes a picture
oh,
of it
yeah.
and they put it up on the
goes
internet.
Viral.
You know?
Yep.
Goes viral.
Can we do one newspaper spin for the headline?
No, we
it's
do.
Gotta be.
We do a TMZ yeah. Harvey
oh,
Levin.
Okay.
You know that thing?
I
where
know
they,
if this is a period piece.
They it never works, but they do the thing, and he goes Kim Kardashian
right.
spotted
it's on it with one of these mill
right.
bags.
Right, mill bag. Right. Right.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
I like this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good holiday movie. We got Christmas coming
watch.
Up.
This is a Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
I would watch this.
But Charlize Theron.
All right, Mike?
Yeah.
You okay with that?
I love it. I was thinking about adding that trope where before she went off to become successful, there was that dude that she left behind, and he's still there back at the mill. Oh,
of course.
But I was thinking, wait a minute, let's make it a chick.
Oh.
So then we get, like, the lesbo angle.
Mm.
Gender fluid, we call it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there has to be... There has to be the salt of the earth guy who drives a steak bed truck, who's always, you know, way too
ruggedly
good looking,
handsome.
And he's always still back, kind of doing the you've changed thing to her.
Maybe a Channing Tatum type.
Mm-hmm.
Is it too precious to make them a transitioned person?
Brian, please.
No, it's very timely.
Yeah,
this is Hallmark,
I like the
Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum. I got too many names. Channing Tatum.
Neither of those are names.
Guy, I know. He's the guy, he drives a steak bed truck, he's good looking.
What's up, good looking? Like messing with her from the old days?
Right, she kind of pretends like they didn't date a little in high school because she's moved on to the city slicker.
That's right.
She asked him to the prom.
Mm-hmm, Sadie Hawkins, 1989. Hey, Mike?
Yeah.
All right, you good?
Yeah, I'm good. Can't wait to see it.
Yeah, me neither. All right, any of you guys want to pick a line up there?
How about line three?
Line three.
Curious where we're going with this.
Talk to Pete, 48 from Washington. Pete?
Yeah.
You got a title?
How about, I do. How about the plagiarizer?
The plagiarizer.
The plagiarizer.
So we know that the Marvel Universe is filled with characters, filled with superheroes, but we got a new villain in town.
Mm. Oh, no.
Guy's writing bad checks.
This is somebody they've dubbed the plagiarizer in like a sort of a Gotham City universe. Is that DC?
Yeah, that's DC. Oh. Okay.
I got a thought.
Like the Riddler.
Yes.
He takes on the form of other superheroes.
Hold that thought. So, like a body snatcher, he can get inside the body of other superheroes and make them do their bidding.
Yeah.
And they don't know it, but he still has all their powers.
That's everyone's, how he wreaks havoc.
Everyone sees him like, hey, Iron Man or whatever. Hey, good to see you. Thanks for saving the world.
Yes.
Bam, bam, bam.
And not until it starts the earth has been scorched.
Iron Man, what are you drinking a Pepsi for? You're a Coke guy. I just thought I'd mix it up.
Don't you have an exclusive deal?
Yeah, they start to, and now they're in the moral quandary because what do you do? Kill? You know what I mean? It's kind of like those zombie movies. That was your wife. Now she's turning. Yep. Do you kill her?
Yes.
And he absorbs all the powers of said hero. How the fuck? What are you going to do about the Hulk? Good luck killing the Hulk walking the street.
And of course, you know the first act is, or, you know, the first half of the first act is kind of funny. It's kind of like he's getting used to this. But then you don't realize until there is devastation in your path that something's amiss.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have to spend all of Act Two trying to figure out which one of your friends is actually the plagiarizer.
Mm.
God damn.
This is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have to figure out a way to rid this person we love of this demon that's essentially in them without killing the person.
Right. Yeah.
But only when you figure out that the person isn't who you think it is.
Mm-hmm. Now, do we have a plagiarizer? Is it a he? Is it a she?
Is it someone who does good impressions anyway?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe kind of a younger Baldwin, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, Alec Baldwin aged out of this role.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Gina?
Well, I was thinking of, you know, he's very hot right now. Things are skewing a little younger. This might be a good vehicle for, like, a Timothée Chalamet. Because remember, the plagiarizer himself is not in most of the movie. It's being played by the person who
and
the superhero is.
We tell the origin story of young Timothy, who spells his name with two E's.
And an accent mark.
Yeah. Timothea.
All right. We show an origin story of him as a young boy getting bullied.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then sitting, and he's struck by lightning. Sitting and thinking. And then taking on the bully.
Yeah.
Becoming the bully, and the bully's punching himself in the face, going, I can't stop. And his bully friend's like, what are you doing, Ralph? And he's like, I kind of know what I'm doing.
Does it get dark? Does he throw himself off like a free overpass?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
That's good.
Yeah, that's real good.
That's the origin story.
Yeah, I like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe we realize that the plagiarizer was really just a bullied young child, and we need to appeal to
connect
young. We need to connect.
Well, a technical question, maybe for Gina, possibly for both of you. What happens to Timothée Chalamet's body when he takes on the, when he's plagiarizing? See what I'm saying?
Yes.
When he goes inside of Hawkeye, what happens to Chalamet?
Well, that's a very good question. I'm glad you asked it. Because he is at his heart an introvert and sort of a fearful kind of guy, he has this like little side room off of his closet in his apartment where he just like goes and shuts it. So nobody ever sees him.
Oh, so his body's in stasis.
Right, when he's mm-hmm. sort of transcendental, yeah.
Because is there a twist where he goes into the body of his young crush and he knows where his body is?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Pete?
It's some fucking weird shit.
I'm down.
Hold on, is Pete up?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go, Pete.
Not only am I impressed, I can't wait to see the ride at Disneyland.
Oh, that's right. That's going to be good.
All the mirrors.
Yeah, I sit on the Marvel. Lap of whoever's in your seat. Hey, thanks, Pete.
Thanks, guys.
All right. I have thoughts. You have thoughts, Brian?
I liked initially line two, but I feel personal connection with line four.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go four.
Unless you
want to go four, too.
Let's go four.
All right. Adam, 36, Washington.
Yeah, the movie title is At a Loss. Can you make a win out of this loss?
Mm-hmm.
It's a coming of age drama.
Oh, hold on. He'll take his movie off the air.
All right. Thanks, Adam. This is a caller, Adam. This is a coming of age drama. I don't know. Do we know a young actor like a Tom Holland? Maybe younger than that. You know what I mean? Like middle school age.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a kid from Room.
Oh, yeah. He's got to be older now.
Yeah. Anyway. neither here nor there. We'll work out the casting later. It's a coming of age drama about a young middle school boy, maybe a little chubby, friendly, knowledgeable, but you know, he starts to lose his hair at a young age.
Seth Rogen.
Premature. Well, think of middle school.
Oh, middle
Jacob
school.
Tremblay.
Okay.
Jacob
starts
Tremblay.
Losing.
Yeah, this is a young boy who's cursed with a premature male pattern baldness.
Sure.
And you know, despite being a nice, friendly, personable kid, is the victim of mockery by all of his classmates.
Oh, we have that scene where the two pretty popular girls talking lunch in the
Who
quad.
Do you like? Who do you like?
And the one says, well, the character's name,
right.
I guess we could call him Byron or something like that. And so the
Brian Hislop.
Well, let's just reenact that scene, Gina. Yeah. So I'll be the young girl. You'd be like, who do you think's cutest in the school?
Oh, I got to tell you, I get so many butterflies in my stomach when I see Brian.
You mean Byron?
When I see Byron.
For example,
Byron?
Yes.
You mean Byron Dishlog?
Oh, not Byron Dishlog.
That's sort of how it would play out. That'd be the trailer. And we'd cut to the kid. Again, chubby hair, you know, pattern baldness starting to set in at 12 years old. Single teardrop, you know, just he's within an earshot.
Mm-hmm.
Byron Dishlog is within an earshot. But in this fantasy, is there a young girl who maybe sort of takes a liking to him and realizes he's a little more substance there?
Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm saying this fantasy.
Yeah, I like it. I would watch it.
It's a coming-of-age movie.
Exactly.
All right.
Overcomes difficulties.
We got one more up there. Try it out. James. James, 34. Maybe I screwed
this
up. I
think you have both, actually.
Oh, sorry. Okay, let me try that. Let's see. James.
Hit.
I'll try.
I had hold.
Wait, okay. Hold.
Now hit two. There we go.
Oh, look at you.
There we go. Well, he was the phone
guy. There?
That's true.
Yeah, what's going on, James?
Adam, Gina, Bald.
Hey,
hi, guys.
What you got?
So my movie title is Checked Out.
Ooh. You have thoughts, you said?
I was thinking of kind of that series. Remember, there'd be like Dane Cook and Jessica Simpson or something. They worked at a big Costco or something.
Employee of the year,
those kinds of movies.
Yeah. Employee
like
of the month, something.
We take the chick who's clearly hot, but we make her the plain Jane at the dollar store.
Yeah. Oh, she has a low ponytail and glasses.
Yeah, right. And of
this
course,
impossibly gorgeous creature. Let's make her stock the shelves.
Right. Nobody knows she's hot.
Right.
Except for the guy who's the main star of this thing. But so we have her. at like the dollar store. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And there's a big deal because of inflation. The 99 cent store is going to have to go to $1.29.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
And she's...
It's going to ruin their branding.
She has that life with her cat. And we show the sad thing where, you know, she goes back to her apartment and she opens the Chef Boyardee ravioli and warms it on the stove.
Right.
Doesn't even take it out of the can.
Splits it with her cat.
Yeah, splits it with her cat. But then there has to be some love found. Somebody's got to come into her world. Maybe we do, maybe we take Chris Pratt and we tell him, you know what? Instead of slimming down for the superhero stuff, go ahead and chop it up. Chop it up a little bit.
Have some pie.
Parks and Rec it back up.
Yeah, Parks and Rec it back up, because this is a quieter, smaller film. It's a study of two people falling in love.
It's Oscar bait.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he gets a...
Is she impossibly gorgeous like a Margot Robbie?
No, because everybody else would see it.
But that's the joke in these movies, is that they're always so hot. It's like, what? Yeah, essentially a supermodel standing next to you.
Or
sort of an every girl, an Amy Adams, an Anne Hathaway.
Mm.
You know, it doesn't hurt your eyes to look
every
at them.
Girl.
Yeah, well, let's go.
Well, she's no Margot Robbie.
Let's go with the Amy Adams.
Yeah.
All right. And she's frumped up and, you know, low self-esteem. Got a little bit of that Talia Shire and Rocky.
Oh.
Speaking of boxing movies, she's Amy Adams from The Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Sort of the girl at the bar.
That Trumpy. Fighter. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, something's got to turn. I mean, there's got to be a robbery.
Right.
She gets shot and goes into a coma. He nurses her back.
Dark.
It's got to be something... Something's
got
to turn.
Well, she's stocking shelves.
Yeah,
she's by herself.
She's
having to put the 10-gallon drums of, you know, frosting up there. Mm-hmm. And, she can only do so much before it knocks her out.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, what happens is she's got this shit dad, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of the white trash dad. So, like, you never amount to anything. He's always smoking, wearing the wife beater and all that kind of stuff. She goes into a coma. He's going to sue the shit out of the 99-cent store, but he can't get paid until she dies.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. Now, he wants to pull the plug early and often, but Chris Pratt's character...
Won't let Tommy Lee Jones do it?
He went in there. That's right. Tommy Lee Jones. He went in one night after visiting hours at the hospital, and he started singing the song... With his ukulele.
They have a Muzak song they always kind of laugh about. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes on, here it is again. It's always on every, 45 minutes.
Right. And you see her squeeze his finger.
Exactly.
It's a little hand squeeze.
Yeah.
And then the next day.
A little brain activity. Beep.
Yeah. And next day you have the doctors. She's in a vegetative state. She's probably not going to last the weekend. She's going to be this way. We're going to have to pull the plug.
That damn frosting.
Pratt's, and he's being restrained by the guards, know what I mean? Because he's down the hall and they're going to pull the plug.
Family only, sir. Family only.
I'm pretty sure they shut the machine. I don't know if they physically pull
the plug
out
of the wall.
Yeah, I don't think
maybe rules are rules.
Cut the power.
I don't know. Go hit the breaker, Sam. How about we do? There's an on off button.
Hedge trimmers.
It's called pulling the plug. Now I'll go pull the plug.
Yeah. Does the doctor put his hand on Tommy Lee Jones and goes, "I'm sorry, sir, she's checked out."
Oh, she's checked out.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's great.
That's good. James?
Yeah, I love it.
Powerful?
Yeah, powerful. Took a different direction than I thought you would go, but hey, that's why you play the game, I guess.
That's why you got to play the game. All right, thank you. We got an outro.
Adam Carolla will return in Made Up Movie, Part 2.
Funny you should mention the plug thing as it pertains to hospitals and hospital beds. Every time I go to get my infusion, my physical machine, this tree that they hang all the drugs on, everything, the IV, everything, is plugged into the wall. But it has a battery, inside of it or something, because you can unplug that thing and walk or go to the bathroom and walk around wherever.
Yeah,
you guys on wheels. You're just kind of walking down the hall with this thing attached to you, of course. But, pulling
the
plug is not the same.
Saying,
not the same implication as it was.
We need to modify to pull the plug and no battery backup.
It's not as catchy.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
or go full pillow over.
Before we go too far away from pulling the plug, I just thought of a new game. Mm. We get four callers with four small businesses on the phone, and they have to entertain us, tell a joke, give us a great something, or we pull their plug and we don't give them their plug for their business.
Pull the plug.
Pull the plug. That's a good, it's on the nose, but it's good.
We've met, right?
I love
we're
it.
We're not doing morning radio here per se. You know, what we're doing is a slightly more nuanced approach.
Give it
to
Heidi and
audio.
Frank. Never mind.
Breska would have come up with that. Oh, wait. All right, let me tell you about Beanbox. Beanbox connects coffee lovers to some of the world's best specialty coffees with curated tasting flights. Perfect for a gift. Yeah, holidays coming around. Some people are hard to shop for. The good news is everyone loves coffee. There are a lot of people that don't drink or they don't have a favorite team or whatever it is, but they love coffee. I got into this last night because they have lots of varieties, and they also have some chocolates that go along with it as well. And I had a couple pieces of chocolate, and then I had the coffee in the morning, the coffee sampler gift subscription. Four new expertly curated coffees every month, and you can save when you give 6 months or more. World Coffee Tour Box, 16 of the world's best micro lot coffees, deluxe coffee and chocolate tasting box. This is what I got into last night. 8 gourmet coffees, perfectly matched with artisan chocolates. Yeah, the good stuff. Man, I had the chocolate last night and the coffee this morning. So damn good. It's Beanbox, right, Dawson?
Give the coffee fanatic in your life an unforgettable coffee tasting experience with Beanbox. Order today at beanbox.com/Adam and get 15% off purchases of $40 or more. That's 15% off purchases of $40 or more with promo code Adam at beanbox.com/Adam.
All right. We will take a quick break. We'll come back with the Peter Stormare right after this.
Engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.